Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Thank you.
Little ZZ Top bringing us back 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame. Thanks for being part of my day. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. Check it out when you get a chance. Thanks for using it to your advantage. We update it every single day, and we got new stuff coming all the time. And don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter. Don't forget to take the poll question, too, right there on the homepage. And also, if you want to, if you get a chance, check out my YouTube suite, youtube.com/Jim Blasingame, our channel there. Mike Musso is our guest, our good friend, the author of They're Not Aloof, Just Generation X. He's one of our generation experts, and we're talking about the millennials and Gen X. But Mike, I think the biggest difference, the biggest, the most interesting generation is the millennials, the Gen Ys.
And I think they're interesting because they combine a lot of the socio-demographic traits that you find in Gen X and even some in boomers in terms of their capitalistic tendencies, if I could say that,
yeah,
without a connotation.
But that part of it is not what's interesting to me. What's interesting to me is how the millennials seem to be happy living in their own universe. Do you see what I mean?
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, there's no question.
And so talk to us about that. How do we deal with that?
Well, I think some of those traits, you know, millennials always on their handhelds, or always on their phones and the texting, and the fact that, you know, you hear so often the rhetorical, you know, everybody gets a trophy. So when they come into the workplace, traditional managers, people of my genre, you know, and I'm in my mid-50s, you know, we have a tendency to want to manage and lead the way we were managed and led. And I think that's one of the reasons you've seen such an emphasis on coaching, because coaching, even by the connotation of the word, suggests a little bit more of a nurturing and mentoring style of leadership versus an autocratic style of leadership.
And but you know, Mike, you can't coach somebody if they don't act like they want to receive the coaching. And I have to be honest with you, I talk to other people of your generation, of my generation, about this, and some of the things I get back are that they don't act like they want to be coached, at least not by you or me.
Well, and
you have any perspective on that?
Yeah, let me say this. I mean, this might be the first time in 9 years where you and I really disagree. You know, this is a generation, and let me metaphorically say, you know, grew up playing the video game. So they have that need or that want, or more importantly, the expectation for the gratification and the results of their performance. So, you know, monthly performance reviews with millennials especially are well received, but I think the stigma is in the format, you know, and how you would go about it.
Mm-hmm.
A traditional leader would talk about the coaching or the reinforcement modifying adult behavior, you know, predicated on their perception. And it might be something as simple as pulling the millennial into the office and get out from behind your desk, because your desk kind of signifies the moat, right? I mean, the serfs sit on one side of the moat, you know, and the leaders sit on the other side of the moat.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, if you can get in a comfortable setting, you know, even if you would ask a millennial, you know, what are the three things that are keeping you up at night? What are the three things that are really bothering you about your job? What are the tools you need to be successful? And out of the three areas that you'll get back from the millennial, one of those is going to be consistent with where you think they need work.
Mm-hmm.
And then you need to positively reinforce those three. Number one's good. Number two, that's really interesting to me. Number three, and I can hear the boomers right now cringing, you know, just saying, why do I need to put all this candy perspective on this? Because it's the nature of the people that you're coaching.
But let me ask you a question, Mike. I hear you and a lot of other people talking about what we need to do to coach the millennials and to bring them along and to manage them and to work with them because they're this way or that way. Has anybody written a book for the millennials saying, you know, you're standing on the shoulders of the people who hired you and who know some things that you could benefit from? Here's what you should do in order to fit into this organization that you're now joining?
Well, I think the books that are written on that subject lead much more to a...
I haven't seen that book. I haven't seen one of those books, Mike.
Well, I haven't seen a book on that specific topic, but I think the philosophies and leadership that are being written now in terms of mentoring and breaking down, this is my position, this is your position. You work in the back, you work in a cubicle, I work in an office. Getting into a one-on-one relationship, you know, with a mentor or a mid-level manager or even another person in the organization. And once we get into a personal relationship or at least understand what makes them tick, a lot of those silos, to quote Lencioni, start to break down a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Well, I can't imagine when I came on board as a pup, I can't imagine my bosses, the people I worked for, my mentors, ever thinking, you know, what can I do to make, you know, to move over to his side? Nobody ever thought about that. What they did do was teach me how to be tough, how to be productive, how to be effective, and how to take what they knew and what they'd learned and go forward. And I received that. And so I tell you, I really think that the baby boomer generation does not need to change that part of dealing with the millennials. I do think that they need that kind of interaction as well. What do you think?
Well, let me play devil's advocate with you. I mean, if your marketplace changes, don't you tweak the way your small business takes the product to market? And if your employee base is radically different, is it such a huge stress?
But that doesn't make it
tweak the way we lead.
That doesn't mean that it's right, though. You know, I mean, we're going to continue this conversation, folks. And by the way, my comments, my observations, are gleaned from talking to managers, not just from me, but from managers that I know.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.